God's grace and God's peace be and abide with each of us on this, the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and living God, you give us this wonderful opportunity to gather as your people. Assist us now as words are spoken and words are heard, that we may hear your voice. And allow us, O Lord, to be free from distractions and centered in you, in Christ Jesus, his cross, and his resurrection. May all that is said and heard be to your glory and your glory alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. It's wonderful to be with you. Thank you for the privilege of being here to worship with you, to stand in this pulpit and to proclaim the message of God's love for us all, and certainly to be involved in the ceremony, the consecration rite for the deacons of this congregation. It's a very rare and a unique moment, and I am privileged to be with you today, and thank you for that invitation. The sermon today is based upon the first lesson that was read from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the story of Paul when he was beginning his ministry in Greece in the city of Athens. And you may want to have that bulletin insert in front of you as a reference this morning. In the hot and in the arid and drought-stricken southwest region of the country of Ethiopia, where there has only been any significant rainfall once in the last 11 years, where the daily pounding of the equatorial sun has parched the land and the cattle and the people, where women must walk as much as 8 hours each way to fetch 30 gallons of water for their family, where a long and bloody civil war rose up over the communist dictatorship a few years ago, where HIV/AIDS viruses are taking deadly tolls in staggering numbers, and where the people have been over centuries worshiping a variety of gods and goddesses of their own making, in those harshest of conditions for human existence, the Christian church is thriving. The Ethiopian Evangelical Church, Makani Yesus, is the fastest growing expression of Christianity and of Lutheranism in the world. In the past 12 years, with all of its hardships and struggles, the people there have turned to Christ Jesus in phenomenal numbers, so that the church in that country, the whole church, has more than quadrupled since 1990. Now, how have they done that? The rest of the Christian church is asking. As so many other expressions of our Christian faith have stopped growing and expanding and are simply holding their own from year to year. Makani in Ethiopian is a word that means the dwelling place of, and Jesus, of course, means Jesus. And so the Makani Jesus Church has said, we are the dwelling place of Jesus, and our central mission, our central focus, is to make Christ known. To make Christ known to every soul in that vast and diverse land. They make him known in their lively worship services, and their worship services there begin at 7 o'clock in the morning and end between 1:30 and 2, and that's one service. Now, we could do that if I was to preach for the next 5 hours, but I've been told I shouldn't preach as long as your pastor does, so I'm not going to do that. He told me today that he preached 5 or 6, what, hours or minutes, but neither of those were true. When they gather for worship, they then go forth as God's people with a commitment to evangelize their villages, their communities, their families, to invite others into this growing, phenomenal church. They also have extensive training for their lay leadership. They train their people, they commission them or consecrate them, and they send them out into the land to be proclaimers of the good news of Jesus Christ. Our Pacifica Synod has a companion synod in Ethiopia, in the southwest part of the Makani Jesus Church. They have 650 congregations, four times more than our synod has in Southern California and Hawaii. They have 23 ordained pastors, about one-tenth of the number of active pastors in our synod. And these 23 pastors serve 650 congregations by training and commissioning and consecrating the lay people of their churches to minister to every one of those 650 congregations. That's one pastor for every 28 congregations, but at least one lay minister trained and educated and equipped for each of those congregations. They have a wonderful, wonderful ministry, and they've taken seriously the words of St. Paul, who said to the Ephesians when he wrote according to the fourth chapter that the Holy Spirit gifts leaders of the church to equip the saints of God for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all have come to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God and to maturity in their faith in Jesus. When eight of us from our synod visited our companion synod last year, we saw the church alive and thriving and filled with the Spirit of God. We met a few of its pastors and many of its lay evangelists. I preached one Sunday morning, and the crowd gathered over 4,000 people that day. Some told me after the service that they had started walking from outlying villages on Saturday afternoon and walked most of the night in order to be there by 7 o'clock in the morning. I was told, "Don't you dare preach anything less than a one-hour sermon. We don't walk 8 hours to get here to hear 15 minutes from the pulpit." So the story is being told, the old, old story of Jesus and his love and his life and his teachings and his cross, which he bore for our sins, and his death, which he endured for our offenses, and his burial, so that we too could be buried with Christ and then raised with Christ and promised new life for the one who ascended and promises to prepare a place for us. Here in our own land, in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, we have said very clearly that our mission is primarily to make Christ known. We do that in so many ways. In our preaching and teaching, in our worshiping as congregations, in our mission-mindedness as synods, and as a denomination that focuses on the multifaceted expressions of the gospel of Jesus Christ, both here in this continent and around the globe. The biblical incentive and the guiding principles for a church that has committed itself to make Christ known are passages that come from scriptures like those that we've read today. St. Paul was in Athens beginning his ministry in that country. And for any who have been to Athens or who have seen pictures of that famous city, you can only imagine what it would be like, what it would have been like in Paul's day. A city and a country filled with marvelously built temples and carved statues dedicated to the gods and goddesses of their mythological religion. The Athenians had in their neighborhoods and in their marketplaces and in their full view for those who were in the city on that Acropolis Hill, beautiful images of Zeus and Hera and Athena and Apollo and Nike and Dionysius and many other of their mythological deities. And there were temples scattered everywhere, beautiful temples made of stone. And as St. Paul walked through Athens and then met on the Areopagus on Mars Hill, where the philosophers came to philosophize and the theologians came to theologize, as he met with those people, he said, "People of Athens, I see that you're a very religious people. I have walked in your city, and I have seen your objects of worship." And then Paul tells them about the worship site that he found most interesting. an altar with an inscription, an altar that is still there today in the marketplace of Athens, and that inscription can still very faintly be seen and read. Paul said, I found the altar down in the plaka, down in the marketplace, that has the inscription on the side that says, to the unknown God. Now it's this unknown God that is unknown to you that I want to make known to you, St. Paul said to those that had gathered. I know this God, and I'm going to tell you about this God who created the earth and the whole universe. And this same God who gave you life and breath. I'm going to tell you about this God who's not confined to temples built by the hands of people or to the imaginations and minds of humankind, but the one who is the master and creator and the author of all life. I'm going to tell you that this is a living God, not made of gold or silver or stone, but a God that is alive and is present and is near to us, a God who calls us to repent of those times when we've made God so small, or when we think that we have been able to fashion God from our own hands and from our own heads. I'm going to tell you about this God who is not so small and never limited, this unknown God who allows himself to be known as he entered our world in human flesh and died for us and now has been raised from the dead. And Paul told those philosophers and theologians about Christ Jesus as he began to convert the people of Athens and to offer the story of Jesus to yet another community, some of whom would believe, and another church would be founded, and another people would receive this message of saving grace. We live in the same kind of world today, a world that surrounds us by a people who do not know God, a people who have determined that God is somewhere out there or unknown to them personally. And we live in a world that continues to create their images of God. And we can see the gods and goddesses of our world's mythology all around us today, on television and in the newspapers and in magazines and in the department stores and all of the many things that our world today has created with its hands and with its minds and worships in its own way. And the true God for so many people today is a God that's unknown. And like St. Paul, and like the people, our sisters and brothers in Ethiopia, and like the logo or the motto or the word that gives our denomination its meaning, we are called to make Christ known into such a world today. We are called to allow our lives to reflect the life of Christ in a world where so many do not know Jesus as the one who died for them and rose for them and is preparing a place for them. It becomes our calling to be a people who worship and pray and dedicate our lives to the scriptures and become trained and educated to go out into this world to make Christ known, to allow a world to see him and to hear of him in our words, in our deeds, in our proclamations, by who we are and by how we live and by what we say and by what we do. We are given a wonderful opportunity, and not just seven deacons after being well trained, and I know they have been well trained because I know your pastor well enough to know that he would train them well, but it becomes a privilege for all of us to make Christ known and to allow him to be seen in our daily life. We, like the people in Ethiopia, we, like those first and new Christians that followed Paul's teaching and became the first converts to Christ Jesus, we are given that same opportunity in a world that's really no different today. No different now than it was in Athens 2,000 years ago. Not much different here on this side of the world as it might be on the other side of the world, in another land, of another people, of another language. We are given rare opportunity and holy opportunity to allow the God that is not known by so many, the one true God, who gave you life and breath, who washed you with waters of baptism, and who calls you into discipleship, to make this God known. Such is the mission of this congregation. Such is the mission of our synod and our denomination. Such is the mission of the Makani Jesus Church in Ethiopia. Such is the mission of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Those of us who follow the one who gave his life for each of us and calls us to not only follow him into new life and into eternal life, but to make him known. God bless these deacons as they have taken a wonderful and unique responsibility in the life of this church. God bless your pastor who leads this church with great enthusiasm and is a preacher and a teacher in your midst. And God bless each and every one of us as Christ has made himself known to us and gives us the opportunity to make him known one to another. Amen. The peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep our hearts and our minds always in Jesus. Amen.